Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is, God is good, and His mercy is forever and all time. Oh, hallelujah. My soul is boasting this morning in the Lord, because I know that my daddy God has got me covered from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Praising the Lord this morning. Praising the Lord this morning. Praising the Lord every morning, because I am grateful to be a child of the Most High God. Whoa, what a mighty God we serve. And wow, that's all I can say this morning is wow. You know, thank you, Pastor Fred, for a wonderful word this morning on Morning Glory Nation. You know, we can never forget, you know, as we talk about Jesus at this time, that there was another pregnancy going on, the pregnancy of Elizabeth, hallelujah, who was the mother of John the Baptist, the cousin of Christ, who, as Jesus came to in his mother's womb, as Jesus came in his mother's womb, can I say that again? As Jesus came in his mother's womb, John in his mother's womb leaped, hallelujah, praising in the womb. Come on now. We got to praise God every day. I'm thankful that God has blessed us with his grace, with his mercy, with his son. Oh, I'm leaping today. I'm leaping with joy. I'm leaping with praise. I'm leaping knowing that I have a Father who loves me in spite of me. Whew, hallelujah. We are blessed and we are favored. And we got to give God glory. Can y'all just say with me before we get started this morning, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, of all the honor, and of all the praise. Oh, hallelujah. It just makes me want it. Father God in heaven, we come today filled up, God, because you, Lord God, gave us a leap in our spirit to know that the Savior has come, to know that he will come again, to know that he loves us and intercedes for us all the time, that you have never left us or forsaken us, that you will be with us until the end of days, God. That one day, hopefully, we will walk through that narrow gate into the kingdom, God, that we will know who we are and who do we belong to. Lord God, I know that I am yours and that you are mine, that you touched me as a child. I was by an angel, and that I have been preparing all my life for such a time as this to speak your word and to speak it with excitement. As I remember, God, sitting on the steps as a little girl with nothing else in my mind but being able to go to church. I wanted to go to church so bad. I wanted to be in church. And I remember, God, how you allowed my godparents to buy me the clothes I needed to go to church. And how, as a four-year-old, I got to go to church, and I never stopped going until I lost my way. So God, you called me out of darkness by making the light. And all I can say is Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for allowing me to work in your kingdom. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be your servant. Thank you, God, for your mighty word, God. And I pray, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For, Lord God, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And all I can say is my soul leaps for you, God. My soul leaps for you because you are my absolute in my life. You are the light that shines bright in darkness. And all I can say is thank God for bringing me through this storm. And Father God, as I pray this morning, I pray for all on the highways and byways, God, as they travel the roads and the skies and the trains, Lord God, today, as this storm is coming. Lord God, I pray that all are prepared and preparation has been put in place, that no one is stranded in the snow and in the cold, that they will hear your voice when you say, pull into the hotel. Or they will hear your voice to say, maybe you should stay home. That they will hear your voice when you say, I got you. Father God, I thank you. As I lift up this word today, may those that hear it, live or later, be blessed over this season, God. May their time with you be a time that's precious because you love us in spite of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I got filled up because God will bring back remembrance to you. You know, it started with hearing the story of Elizabeth and Mary this morning and listening to the enthusiasm as it was preached that we have to all have a leap in our spirit, a leap and a praise for someone else. We got to leap for Sister Carolyn as she journeys to her daughter's home. We got to leap for my pastor as she travels the highways and byways. We got to have a leap in that ministries will succeed, that people who are venturing out and moving forward in their walk with God, that their ministries will succeed. You know, I thank God for the mighty, awesome women in my life who are all doing great things for the kingdom, writing books, teaching and preaching, traveling, and getting closer with God. What a mighty God we serve. So I'm thankful today. I'm thankful for God's grace over my life. Not perfect. Got a lot of work to do, but I'm thankful. And so we're getting ready to get into a new book this morning. So get out, getting out my little Know Your Bible. Can y'all say that? I know my Bible because y'all been with me. We've been doing this thing. And the thing is, we haven't been doing it for ourselves. We've been doing it because we are children of God, and we got work to do. So in these next few days of this year, we will have Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi left in the Old Testament as we are in the last book of the New Testament, which is Revelation. And today we go into Nahum. You know, some call him Nahum, or I call him Nahum. And as we look, it says the book of the vision of Nahum the Echoshite. Nahum either wrote the prophecies or dictated them to another. Between 663 and 612 B.C., and the 10 words or less to describe this book is this: powerful, wicked Nineveh will fall before God's judgment. Now, we all know Nineveh got saved under the time of Jonah, but they messed up. And damn, that's all I'm saying. Woe to the bloody city, Nahum cries. Nineveh, capital of the brutal Assyrian Empire, has been targeted for judgment by God himself, who will make thee vile as will set thee as gazing stock. For sins of idolatry and cruelty, Nahum's prophecy comes true with the Babylonian Empire overrunning Nineveh in 612 B.C. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked, Nahum 1 and 3. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him, Nahum 1 and 7. And I'm going to read that again. That's a highlightable, y'all. That is a highlightable. Get your highlights out. I got me some new ones that are kind of glittery and cute. You know, I want to be able to see it in the dark. Come on now. You know, we got to have those highlightables. You know, keep your highlightables somewhere nearby. Always keep you some highlightables by, because you never know when that scripture is going to come by. Just going to pop and just say, ooh, that's a highlightable. That one's got my name on it. It's a Dr. Stanley highlightable, too, because he highlighted it in his room. And I love it. And it says this. I said, I want to highlight it again in my little book. Highlightable. And it says this: the Lord is good. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Are you trusting in God today? Nahum is a kind of Jonah part two. I like this. Nahum is a Jonah part two. Though the city had once avoided God's judgment by taking Jonah's preaching to heart and repenting, now more than a century later, it will experience the full consequences of its sin. Now, under one king, everything is good. And then the next one comes, and the next one comes, and a century later, you're back in the same mess that you was in before. And now you have to experience what was avoided by repenting. And the question is, so what? Even the most powerful city on earth is no match for God's strength. Neither is the biggest problem in our individual lives. Praise God. Praise God. Nothing is impossible for God. And as we get into our words, we are coming out of Nahum chapters 1 through 3. We are coming out of the 145th Psalm, verses 17 through 21, which is also where our title comes from this morning. Proverbs 30 and 16, which we also read yesterday, and we probably will go back to 15 as well to get it in context. And Revelation chapter 12. God willing, we'll get through our word this morning. And again, praying for safety of all those that are traveling. Nahum chapter 1, the burden against Nineveh, the book of the vision, Nahum the Echoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry, and dries up all the rivers. The Bashan Carmel wither, the flower of Lebanon wilts, The mountains quake before him. The hills melt. The earth heaves at his presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good. Come on, y'all. The stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. I got to say it one more time. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in him. Trust you, Lord. But with all an overflowing flood, he will make an utter end of his place. The darkness will pursue his enemies. What do you conspire against the Lord? He will make an utter end of it. Affliction will not rise up a second time. For while tangled like thorns, and while drunken like drunkards, they shall be devoured like stubble, fully dried. From you comes forth one who plots evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they are safe and likewise many, yet in this manner they will be cut down. When he passes through, though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. For now I will break off his yoke from you and burst your bonds apart. The Lord has given a command concerning you. Your name shall be perpetrated no longer. Out of the house of your God, some little Jews, and the molded image, I will dig your grave, for you are vile. Imagine God. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. O Judah, keep your appointed feast. Perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. Chapter 2, a man. We'll do life lessons after we finish. Chapter 3. He who scatters has come up before your face, man the fourth. Watch the road. Strengthen your flanks. Fortify your power mightily. For the Lord will restore the excellence of Jacob, like the excellence of Israel. For the impious have emptied them out and ruined their vine branches. The shields of his mighty men are made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots come with flaming torches. In the day of his preparation, and the spears are brandished. The chariots rage in the streets. They jostle one another in the broad roads. They sing like torches. They run like lightning. He remembers his nobles. They stumble in their walk. They make haste to a wall, and the defense is prepared. The gates of the rivers are open, and the palace is dissolved. It is decreed. She shall be led away captive. She shall be brought up, and her maidservant shall lead her as with the voice of God beating their breath. The Nineveh of old was like a pool of water. Now they flee away. Halt! Halt! They cry, but no one turns back. Take spoil of silver. Take spoil of gold. There is no end of treasure or wealth of every desirable prize. She is empty, desolate, and waste. The heart melts and the knees shake. Much pain is in every side, and all their faces are drained of color. Where is the dwelling of the lions and the feeding place of the young lions? Where the lion walked and the lioness and lion cubs, and no one made them afraid. The lion tore in pieces enough for his cubs, killed for his lioness, filled his cage with prey and his dens with flesh. Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more. Chapter 3 of Nahum. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. Its victims never depart. The noise of a whip, the noise of rattling wheels, of galloping horses, of chattering chariots, horsemen charged with bright sword and glittering spear. There is a multitude of slain, a great number of bodies, countless corpses. They stumble over the corpses because of the multitude of harlotries of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorcery, who sells nations through her harlotry and families through her sorcery. Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will lift your skirt over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will cast abominable fits upon you, make you vile, and make you a spectacle. It shall come to pass that all who look upon you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Where shall I seek comforters for you? Are you better than no Ammon that was situated by the river, that had the waters around her, whose rampart was the sea, whose wall was the sea? Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was boundless. But Put and Rubin were the helpers, yet she was carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed to pieces at the head of every street. They cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. You also will be drunk. You will be hidden. You also will seek refuge from the enemy. All your strongholds are fig trees with ripened figs. If they are shaken, they fall into the mouth of the eater. Surely your people in your midst are women. The gates of your land are wide open for your enemies. Fire shall devour the bars of your gates. Draw your water for the siege. Fortify your strongholds. Go into the clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick clean. There the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you off. It will eat you up like a locust. Make yourself many like the locust. Make yourself many like the swarming locust. You have multiplied your merchants more than the stars of heaven. The locust plunges and flies away. Your commanders are like swarming locusts, and they and your generals like great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges on a cold day. When the sun rises, they flee away, and the place where they are is not known. Your shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Your nobles rest in the dust. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and no one gathers them. Your injury has no healing. Your wound is severe. All who hear news of you will clap their hands over you. For upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually? Whew, what a word. I read, it made me think of the ancestors who were put in chains, who were carried away, who lived by the sea, who lived on the land, that cast lots for our honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. What a word. And as we go back into our life lessons, and again, for those that are finally joining us, where we are almost done, y'all. We just finished page 1540. 46 of our word, and there are only 15, I believe, 92 or 93 pages left. 1592 is the end of the word that we are reading, which is the Bible. And we are almost finished. I've read every word of the entire Bible, including the begot, including the measurement of the temple. Everything. And this year and next year, we will be coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. One more year, and I'm telling you now, this Bible has sold out on ChristianBooks.com. It is in back order. Thank you for all supporting this word that have been listening and have been purchasing this wonderful Bible. So I thank Dr. Stanley, and again, not paid by Impact Ministries or any of the ministries for Dr. Stanley. I just happen to feel him. As the Navi say in Avatar, I see you, Dr. Stanley, and I appreciate you. So let's keep it moving. Nahum 1 and 2, the Lord avenges and is furious. God will not share our devotion with anyone else. In fact, he tells us his name is Jealous. And that is also in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. In warning us against dual allegiances, the New Testament asks, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? 1 Corinthians 10 and 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Don't play. You cannot serve two masters. And again, it says, behold, I am against you. Sam chapter 2, verse 13. You never want to hear God say to you, I am against you. Where God opposes ends in misery and destruction, where God supports ends in joy and blessing. Remember, obedience always brings blessing. Disobedience and sin simply make no sense. No one ever gets away with anything, and everyone will one day stand before God to give an account of himself, Romans 14 and 12. So why not choose obedience and blessing? I'm choosing obedience and blessing. There's a lot more obedience I got to do. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to choose God every time. Because God has been too good to me not to choose him. Am I good? Am I bad? Am I ugly? God has always been with me. In my fear, he has been with me. In my faith, he has been with me. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, God, for being with me and caring about me. And it says, fortify your stronghold. God does not want always plead with rebels to repent. The time comes when they reach a point of no return. Pharaoh did this, Exodus 9 and 12. Assyria did this, and some still do, 1 John 5 and 16. But you don't have to. Did you hear that? I'm going to read that again. God does not always plead with rebels to repent. The time comes when they reach a point of no return. Pharaoh did in Exodus 9 and 12. Assyria did this, and some still do. But you don't have to. Nahum 3 and 19. Injury has no healing. Your wound is severe. Those who refuse to come to God for their spiritual healing will never be healed. We were made for intimacy with God and to seek a cure for spiritual wounds. Apart from God, is seeking poison, not medicine. Praying for salvation of those that don't believe, of those that have issues with God, that they don't leave this world with an issue with God and have to stand before him. And he says, I don't know you. We don't want that for anyone we love. We don't want that for our husbands, our children, our wives, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers. We are loved by God. He loved us more than we can imagine. Keep God first in whatever it is you're going through and whatever you're doing, and watch him work in your life. Psalm 145:17-21. And again, our title is coming out of this word this morning. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And that is our title for this morning. And it comes out of the 145th Psalm. And as we go into the word, it says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear the cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Can y'all say thank you, Jesus? Praise God with me this morning. Father, you are great. Father, you are mighty. Father, I thank you for another day. And as we go back into verse 15 of Proverbs, it says, the leeches has two daughters, give and give, that never are never satisfied, for never say enough. Number one, the three things that are never satisfied, the grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never said enough. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. Wow. Like I said, if you need a little word of wisdom, just go to Proverbs and just say, Lord, give me wisdom, and open your Bible to Proverbs, and God will have a word for you. And as we continue in our word this morning, we are coming out of Revelation chapter 12. And it says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child. As soon as it was born, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in the heavens. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Did you catch that? A third of heaven was cast out. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accursed them before before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you will dwell in them. You know, and I remember reading this, and I remember reading this word, and it said, they did not love their lives to the death. I love you to death. Don't love me to death. Love me to life. You know, I remember reading that. I'm like, Don't love me to death. Love me to life. Don't tell me I love you to death. Don't love me to death. Love me to life. So you won't hear me say, I love you to death. I love you to life. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in the woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Whew! What a word. And as we go back to some life lessons, and there is a life question from Revelation chapter 12. And as we look at the life lessons, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We cannot win our battles against Satan with bombs and swords and bullets. Our invincible weapons are the death of Christ and the word of God. These weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. And as we continue, it says Revelation 10, 12 and 17, he went to make war with the rest of our offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan has a particular hatred for Christians who obey God and who work to represent Jesus to the best of their ability. But they are the only ones who really make a difference for good in the world. Are you making a difference for good in the world? And yes, you're going to get attacked. You're going to have mess thrown at you in every direction. You're going to clean up, and then he's going to come behind you and mess up. But you know what? Understand, God will help us. He will help us get out of our messes. The devil is busy, and don't miss out. But then understand, with your boldness, the name of Jesus, demons will flee. But you holler, Yahshua! And you holler, Jesus, my Savior. They flee. They get the heck out. They get out because they were attacked. You will wonder in the middle of the night what is trying to hold you down and take your breath. You better fight and learn how to call on Jesus. When your car is going airborne, and there's nothing you can do about it except for say Jesus. And his arms will come and hold you in place as he lays you on a cloud. Come on. You better learn how to speak up and call on that precious and holy name. And the word of God says, why doesn't God keep us from test and trial? Revelation 12 and 11. Because we live in a fallen world, all of us will face times of suffering and heartache. Sometimes God keeps us from certain tests and trials, but at other times He allows them knowing that the testing strengthens and perfects our faith in him. God wants us to have an unshakable faith. And if trials, tests, and suffering are what it takes for us to have it, then he'll allow them. Even the strongest faith in God does not mean we will be spared life's trials. Daniel's faith was severely tested, but he emerged because Daniel refused to compromise his love for God by worshiping King Darius. He also understood that his obedience to God would jeopardize his life, Daniel 6:16. But he chose the path of other faithful believers who did not love their lives to death. Come on now. In Revelation 12:11, many of God's greatest saints, both in the Bible and others throughout Christian history, faced varying degrees of suffering. All of them, however, developed an unshakable faith that provided the inner strength they needed to face every difficulty with hope and blessed assurance. Do you have an unshakable faith? Are you in an extreme place of testing? If so, do not be afraid. God has planned this very moment, and he will teach you how to trust him perfectly. A person with an unshakable faith never judges God's faithfulness by his or her feelings. Instead, he or she believes and trusts God through many seasons of life, knowing that in the end, God's plan will emerge as perfect. At times in your walk with God, he may require you to do something that from a human perspective seems unreasonable. From his viewpoint, however, it will be in perfect alignment with his word and will turn out for your ultimate benefit. His goal is that you acquire a perfect faith, but he knows your weaknesses. Open your heart to his love and give him the opportunity to prove his faithfulness. That is what Daniel did, and God made it possible for him to walk away from the lion's den with a song of victory on his lips. We all have our dens, and all we can do is say, Lord, keep their mouth shut, that they will not devour me. And as we continue, it says, what is your level of faith in God? Do you believe that he will do exactly what he has promised? Are you convinced that he has already moved heaven and earth for you? And all you have to do is move toward his blessing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Tell God thank you in advance. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout. Shout now. Do your 7 days of walking, believing and trusting that God has got you. He sees you. He knows your name. And as we get into our prayer for this morning, blessed words, time to tear and a time to sow. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. Ecclesiastes 3:7, ESV. Gracious God, you know the times and seasons so well. May I lean into your understanding, knowing when to remain silent and when to speak up. There is discernment in your wisdom, and I need it when I am tempted to say everything I have stored up within me. Let me gauge the timing by turning to you and letting the Spirit be the barometer. I know you won't leave me hanging. Don't let me be hasty in my speech, and when I do speak, let my words be laced with love. May the honey of your grace cover what needs to be said, so that even in confrontation and correction, it may be received with humility, leading to reconciliation. When I've done all I could and others reject me, let my words bless them still. and not cursed. I wait on you knowing you will give me the discernment I need today. Do you pause? The question for today is, do you pause to consider your words before you say them? We as men and women of God have got to learn to not say everything that comes into our minds, because sometimes what comes into your mind is not from God. So keep that in your arsenal and keep God first in all that you do. And before we get out of this morning, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. As we get ready to wrap it up, it's this. Good morning. Stop giving people the power to control your happiness. Your worth and value is determined by God. Have a triumphant Thursday, everyone. And as we wrap up, I say to you all that are in the Midwest, that are in the West, even down in Florida, I was talking to someone yesterday, cold out even there today, in the 30s, I think she told me. No snow, but cold. You know, we need to please pray for each other. Pray for the safety of family and friends and even the people you don't know that are traveling the highways and byways and skyways and trainways. As I say, planes, trains, and automobiles. Those that are traveling by the water even. Keep people in your prayers that God will give them grace and mercy to travel, to be with family, and that families will love each other and get along over this weekend as we celebrate the birth of the Savior. And yes, we all know he was not born on December 25th. It's just the day we celebrate Christ. So celebrate Christ and celebrate who he was. Leap like John did in the womb to know that Jesus is your Savior and that he loves you. Have a blessed day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord, knowing that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and you are loved by him. That's who you are. Be blessed and have a great day. And thank you for joining me this morning on this very cold morning. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap. Why? Because I gotta go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. Have a great day.